Welcome back to the Even If Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Kinsey.
And today we're going to talk about every time.
Well, you just looked at me. I wasn't sure.
Am I going? Today we're going to talk about breaking generational patterns.
Yes. And talking about what generational patterns are. We're going to get into it. But before we do,
How are you? How are you? I'm so good. I'm so tired.
I'm so tired.
I don't know. I feel like it's honestly something in the air because like all of my clients and when in the workouts, what?
Go ahead. Is that funny? No, you're good.
Am I so funny?
It's so funny. It just makes me remember season one when every episode we started with talking about the weather.
I was just about to start talking about the weather.
I know you were. That's why I started laughing because I knew you were going to talk about the cold.
Oh my gosh.
So go ahead. What happened with your clients first in class?
Well, they're just really tired and I think it's because of the weather change. No, dude, when I taught today, it was like pulling teeth to get people to work. I was like, y'all, you made the money. Like, let's go. It was much more gracious and also, anyways.
No, like I feel that.
It's hard.
I just haven't gone to bed before nine.
No, I know.
And I am such a nine to five girl. Like I go to bed at nine and wake up at five. And if I don't.
Yeah. Honestly, there's only one day this week I've gotten a text in the 5 a.m.s from you, which is rare. Usually it's always every day.
Well, I'm still getting up at 5. I know. I just must not be functioning.
You must not be sending the hey, honey, boo boo.
Literally me every morning. Voice memoing, hi, baby girl.
Hi, you are the just most beautiful girl.
You're beautiful. You're loved.
Get yourself a Sarah Hilton.
Until a man people. Can take your place,
literally,
I got you.
Literally, you got me.
And when a guy does come in your life, I probably will still be.
No,
like
I need you. I'm going to need
you. Honey,
he's going to need you to help with that. So, anyways, yeah, I'm great, but I'm tired. We've had a really cool last, like, I feel like we've had a really go last couple weeks.
I know. And I feel like I've seen you every day, which has been
the
so
best.
Fun.
It's been the
we
best.
We have had a lot of amazing things with worship nights and women's events and fundraisers.
I know.
Done so much.
God has put us in some really cool rooms.
Which I feel so, my cup feels full. Like I feel spiritually fed. I feel motivated. I feel encouraged. I feel loved and cared for. Like I feel good. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if tired's even the right word.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is. Like I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I feel like I could rest, which is really great because I'm actually going to get to rest this weekend.
Yeah, you are.
So I think that's good. But I think I'm just like, it's like when you hear so much information that's good, it's almost like it's all just processing in my head.
Yeah.
And I need it to like download and I need to slow down to do it. And so I feel like.
I'm glad you're going to get that time.
That's where I'm at.
It's really important.
Yeah.
I feel that's actually a really great way to say because I feel like there have been 3 events that we've been at in the last week that have been so like God is moving in such powerful ways. And it's not that I haven't been there to feel it, but it's just been like so powerful that I haven't had enough time to like actually let it seep into my bones and digest it. So I too am going to slow down this weekend. I have to. If I keep going like this, I'm going to burn out.
Yeah. I got to
feel
that
it. Yeah.
For sure.
I feel it. So
for sure. Okay. Well, do you want to talk about why we decided this topic for today, the generational patterns, breaking generational patterns?
Yes. First, I want to say like kind of how Sarah and I always choose our topics are, it's kind of really cool how we do it. We will reach out to each other. We have like a plan and we will throw topics in this like shared note. And then every week we kind of go, hey, like what's on your heart? What is God talking to you? What are you feeling? And every single time, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we align every single time on what we want to talk about. And so God's just like showing up big in that way. But generational patterns is something that I started going to therapy when I was 20. I went to my first therapy session. And then
are you saying in 2020 or when you were
20? When I was 20.
Oh.
Yeah, 20, 15 years ago.
When I was 20.
And then I got into therapy regularly right out of college. And so started working on some like generational sin, honestly, that has been in my family. Didn't know it was back then at that time, but, it's something that I wasn't even really aware of fully until early 30s, I would say. But the last week or so we were at a worship night with one of our girlfriends, and there was a theme of generational sin, and it was primarily to like about she started praying over people in the most profound way, and I was one of the people that she prayed over in the group, and every single, there's three of us, and there was a common theme of pain from the parents. And so that was one night. And then a week later, we were just at that event last night. And, same thing where just generational pain. And, mm-hmm. and so it's something that I've worked through. It's something that I will always probably work through, but it's something that is personal to me. And so with that, Sarah was like, "Hey, what if we talked about this?" And I was like, "Yeah, that sounds great."
Yeah. Yeah. And I think generational patterns, there's people say generational curses, generational sin, generational patterns. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of different words we use with it, but being careful to also not use it as a, blaming, "Oh, well, I'm just cursed. It's a generational curse."
Yeah.
Like, I'm the way I am because I, like, not this victim mentality of I'm living under a generational curse.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when that is said, it almost gives ourselves this excuse to like be okay with, "Well, I'm cursed. It's a generational curse." That's not how it goes.
No,
that's not how it is.
Yeah.
But I think to realize that there are these generational curse in the sense of evil, bad, mm-hmm. right? But then mm-hmm. we can see these patterns in us. And I was actually talking to my dad about this today because he sent my brothers and I this text just saying how he went to the doctor. He has some high cholesterol, and talking about how he found out the doctor said that it's called familial hypocholesterol, something, something. And so we all have a chance
it's like
of
a genetic.
It. Yeah. And so what about that? Okay, cool. I have high cholesterol. I could either accept that mm-hmm. and do nothing about it. But because I know, in the same way, if you know your parent's an alcoholic, if you know your parent is what X, Y, Z, right? Affairs, sin, what is that generational pattern?
Yeah.
Then you're aware of it. And what do you do to change it? Mm-hmm. So because I know my dad has high cholesterol, I can choose to, "Oh, well, it's just what my dad has. I have it too."
Mm-hmm.
Or I can be hyper aware that
he
has that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do things to fight my cholesterol and be aware that, wow, I might have just because of who I am, because I can't blame my parents. Like, it's mm-hmm. how I was created, how God created me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be aware of my cholesterol.
Yeah.
Right.
So good.
I can choose to not maybe have beef and eggs every day because they're high in cholesterol.
Called out. That's so yummy.
No, I'm kidding, but I do have beef and eggs every day. But my cholesterol is good, so.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
And you're very healthy.
But we're still working on it.
But
I'm aware.
It's good to be aware.
I have to be aware of it, and I have to know that that's in my family line, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a simple thing, but that translates to these sins, these, you know, spiritual, emotional, behavior aspects of what generational patterns are.
Yeah.
And, like, what do you think of when you think of spiritual generational patterns that are passed down?
I think about consequences. I think about things that I've done that has happened that has been the choices of my family members. I specifically am going to talk about myself, of like choices that people have made in my lineage that then has been the consequence of sin, and that is passed down. And that's what I think of spiritually. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but in Exodus, it does talk about how it's not a curse in the sense of like, God's not like cursing you and condemning you, but it is a sin that's then passed down by it being a consequence of your choices. And that's why we have to take sin at like a heavy weight. Like, it's a really serious deal. And it's not just like, "Oh, God will forgive me. God has grace. I'm going to mm-hmm. drink. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to curse. I'm going to whatever it is." It's like, no, your behavior is going to affect your lineage.
Mm.
And that is so serious to me. And it's a big reason why I believe the Lord has protected me from marrying the wrong person, because I believe that I am the person that has been chosen in my lineage to break the generational sin, specifically in the females in my family.
And so I just like, I could weep.
And
but that's so true, because you know what? As much as there's generational patterns, think about generational pattern is not a bad phrase in itself.
No.
So generational pattern is also the same thing as a generational pattern that's a blessing.
So good.
And so you changing your family lineage mm-hmm. is changing from generational patterns mm-hmm. of not following the Lord to a generational pattern of following the Lord.
And yes.
Praise God that
God
is who you are.
Yeah.
You will not settle for a man that's mm-hmm. not, because you are starting a whole new generational pattern.
Literally.
Of your babies will be walking with the Lord. They will know the Lord because you will raise them that way.
Yep.
And like,
yep.
that is a generational pattern for good.
For good.
Blessing.
For blessing.
And that's all over the Bible, of like,
yes.
of people who decided to follow the Lord and then what, how that changed.
Yes.
You know,
and so good.
You are the beginning of that. And as a receiver of that, I remember having this conversation with my grandpa, my mom's dad. He and I sat down one day. We were just talking about our family lineage, and he is Malaysian, born and raised in Malaysia, and met my grandmother, his wife, in here in Nashville, actually. But she's from North Dakota, a little small town country girl. And they are Christians. They're believers. And so I'm asking my grandpa about it. Like, what was that like in Malaysia? And he was like, well, you know, I wasn't the first generation. My grandparents were.
Wow.
So he's like explaining to me how this happened. He said, in Malaysia, Hindu is a very popular religion.
Yeah.
So most people are Hindu. Wow. And he said, but I'm so grateful for my grandparents who decided to become a Christian. As a result, his parent, mm-hmm. their kids were. So my grandpa was. So my parents were. So I am. Mm. And the way he said that, and he looked at me and he was like, that is why you are a fifth generation Christian on our side of the family. And I was like,
that's powerful.
Praise the Lord for my, whatever that is. I mean, fifth or sixth, whatever that math is. Mm-hmm. But like for my great, great grandfather who had the courage to leave Hindu and say, I am following the Lord mm-hmm. and I choose Jesus and what that's affected me. And that is what you are going to do, Kenzie.
Thank you.
Like
you are
going to marry a man mm-hmm. who is walking with the Lord mm-hmm. and these generational curse, bad, evil, doesn't know the Lord, patterns will change mm-hmm. because of you mm-hmm. and your courage. And then your great, 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 great granddaughter is going to be on a podcast one day talking about it.
Like my great, great, great grandmother.
Unless the Lord comes back, please, Lord Jesus.
I know, seriously. When people ask me, when I get the question of like, what do you want most in this life? Genuinely, my answer is I want to create a legacy of faith. Mm. And I want to have my kids be able to grow up learning about Jesus from their parents, then having to learn about it outside of the home.
Yeah.
So it's worth breaking. Now, breaking is really, really hard. Mm. And you know, we talk about singleness a lot, and it's something that is also a gift, but it's also hard. But I think about how my singleness has and is, and whenever the time comes, like, it's prepared me because I've broken. I remember being at my birthday dinner, just this past month ago. And I was talking about that because we were talking about our hopes and our dreams and whatever. And I was just like, I just really want to break the generational sin on the female side of my family. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends looks at me and she goes, you've already done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I have. You're right. Yes. I have. I have worked hard. I've been in therapy. I've done life coaching. I've worked with the Lord on all of this. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's possible.
Yeah.
And I come from a family of no, like, there's so much divorce in my family, both of my mom and my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
There's cheating. Mm-hmm. Every single one of my cousins mm-hmm. Have been cheated on and left their marriages. Mm-hmm. Nobody's a believer. They know of God, but they're not walking with God. So it's kind of gray, but I didn't learn about faith until I was older. And so I have fought the fight and I'm proud of myself for that. But I just want to encourage anyone, like, it is absolutely possible to break generational sin. It's really hard. It's really painful. There's times in my life where I have in the past, like, as I'm breaking just old responses or subconscious reactions to things, I'm like, whoa, that's so what my family would have done, or that's mm-hmm. how they would have responded. Mm-hmm. And so then you check yourself, you're convicted, and then you're kind of, it's just heart surgery after heart surgery after heart surgery to just like cleanse yourself of that. But yeah, that's how we kind of got on this topic. And Sarah's known me for 10 years, so she knows a lot of my story. Not a lot of my story. She knows all my story.
Oh,
and
that's good.
And it was really cool to have been prayed over and been told. Mm-hmm. One of our, like, honestly, best friends now, one of those friendships where we just, like, click with her. But she just spoke over me as a mom and was like, your kids are going to be silly and free and feel so safe. And you're going to be the first that's ever going to give that to them. Mm-hmm. And I just started weeping. So it's powerful. It's the work worth doing.
You know what I just thought about, though?
Hmm.
Like, okay, I'm going to give you an even if moment.
Okay.
Because even if we don't get married and mm-hmm. have kids, mm-hmm. you becoming a believer is still changing the next generation. Because something I know about you is you still pour into younger women.
Yeah.
And like, you invest so much in younger women through the Bible studies you lead, through your full ride business, like in classes, the way you speak to people. So even the fact that you changed is changing the next generation because of who you are, as opposed to like, if you were not walking with the Lord, like the people that you influence in your cycle class, they would come in and they'd get fit and strong. Sure. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But because of your choice, you're already changed. Like your friend said at your birthday dinner, like she said, you already are. And yes, you really already are, even in a generational way.
Yeah.
Because of the way you're loving your friend, you take your friend's kids and watch them so they can go on a date night. Mm. Like you're loving them in a way that's godly, that's loving. And that is already pouring into that generation.
Yeah. Wow. That's, and you do the exact same thing.
Hey, stop. I'm talking about you.
No, you really do. But I never thought about it that way, but that is so true. Like loving the generation, whether we're like spiritual mothers or we're actual biological mothers, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's just so powerful.
Yeah. And I think something that we've talked about too. So there's that spiritual side, but also I think generational patterns come in emotional and behavioral. Yep. And what does that look like? And I think, you know, you and I have both seen that modeled and for good and for bad, probably in both ways. Yep. And, you know, what have I seen emotionally and how have my parents even seen from their parents? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know a little bit, you're right, about how my parents were raised, like from stories they've said, but to see the things like my mom went to boarding school because she was born in Malaysia and raised overseas, sent to boarding school when she was 10 years old.
Wow.
And so she didn't really have an emotional connection with her parents. Mm. They would see each other twice a year at Easter and Christmas.
Wow. I didn't know that about your mom.
Yeah. She's got a crazy story. Wow. And so I think as she became a mom, she realized, wow, I want to make sure my 10-year-old daughter is seen where she didn't have that. So her emotional behavioral response for the next generation for me was, I'm going to shower my 10-year-old with love and let her feel cared for and seen because she didn't get that.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I have so many sweet memories of my mom doing that. And it's funny as we get older to see that and realize what she did. And she'll talk about how when my brothers and I would come home from school, she would have snacks on the kitchen table, like the counter right there, because she knew we would come home and throw our backpacks down and run off to the neighbor's house or whatever. But she knew we'd run up at least and grab a snack, and she would have that time of connection of, hey, how are you? How was your day? And at least get a second to connect and be there. She was like, because we need that as children. And she remembers how she didn't have that.
Wow.
And so she broke that pattern that she experienced to me. And now me even being aware of it and acknowledging it and seeing it and being like, wow, I love that she had snacks at the table, because now I know, you know, when I have children and they come home, I know that a 10-year-old wants to be seen and needs to be seen and how you can do that, because the lack that she had was able to translate into her abundance with me.
Yeah. Wow. That's so good, sir. That's so true. And I mean, that's so, we have a choice, right? Like I feel like everything, we have a choice, and we can look at the things that we don't have, and we have an opportunity to rise above like your mom did and be like, okay, I didn't have that, but I'm going to make sure that my kids have that. And I don't know, there's something about learning from what you don't have is almost more powerful sometimes than like actually getting the thing that you think, like the thing that your parents provide you. It's just kind of like an everyday thing. You don't really pay much attention to it, but her lack provided a need for you. And then your awareness and your heart is like, okay, and I have that, I have those memories, and I'm going to make sure I do that same thing for my kids.
Yeah. Well, I remember thinking that one time, being like, I think for me personally, it's easier for me to see generational patterns with the same gender, so I can see things about my mom better.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think about that with my dad. My grandpa is like the world's greatest grandpa. My dad's dad. Like he is just like ultimate Southern grandpa.
I see
like,
that.
Taught us how to hunt, how to fish, how to every, like just outdoorsy. He taught us how to garden. Like he just did everything.
So cool.
From East Tennessee. But my dad would say growing up, there was things that he wasn't emotionally available. So I think my dad tried to learn how to be emotionally available. So I see that. And I think about, because I've seen that, I want to find a man who is emotionally available.
Yes.
And continue that pattern of what does that look like? And
yes.
And I think, okay, that's what I was saying. I feel like I'm scattered because I have so many thoughts.
No, I know.
It's
so good. I
Am
love
I scattered?
It. No, you're not at all. You're actually literally on fire.
Okay.
Crushing it.
Literally?
Literally.
Oh, no.
Fillets. Dropping truth.
Well, I think because you were talking about choosing, and it's like, yeah, we have a choice.
We have
and
a
I'm
choice.
Like, we do have a choice. We have a choice of life. Like choosing life or choosing death and ultimately eternity or hell. Right. Mm-hmm. So like we have that choice. And I was reading in Deuteronomy 30 and the whole chapter 11 through the end of the chapter talks about the choice of life and death. And it says there in 19, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God and obeying his voice.
So good.
And that's my prayer. You know, I want to choose life. And I think it's, but it's a daily choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a daily choice of, I want to choose to be intentional. Maybe not with my kids. I don't have kids. Maybe with my kids at school that I work with, maybe with my friends and choosing, what is life? What does it still mean to obey his voice, loving the Lord, how to continue to do that? And I think you and I are in a season, we can only speak for ourselves, but like we have had this extra time, extra 15 years, Lord, of singleness.
Oh, yeah, if we could hurry that up, please, that'd be great.
To learn and be aware of what are the things that we have seen in us that are ugly, that are of the enemy, that are, you know, patterns or spiritual, emotional behavior aspects of us that we want to break and not bring into a relationship. Not that you can't do that in marriage. You absolutely can and should. But I think we have had time to see those things because I also think that marriage will expose us to even more than we're aware of. And I think motherhood will expose us to even more.
Yeah.
But I think right now we have a time to do that and to see, what are the things my parents did well? What are the things I wish were different? And how is that affecting me? Because what do you think? What is that? How do those, how do you think those patterns like show up in you?
Oh my gosh.
What would you say? That's heavy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I always, when I talk about my parents, I love my parents so much. And I believe every parent does the best that they can with what they know and what they have. And so I think we have a choice as children to our parents. Like, we need to honor our parents, even if they've hurt us. And so I've gone through different phases of, like one of, I guess, honestly, in faith, my dad and I have come a long way, but you know, I grew up with a family that we went to church. There's no doubt about it. But when we crossed the threshold of our home, it was, I just felt like we were my family was a fraud. I was like, you scream and yell at each other constantly. My parents they ended up getting divorced when I was in high school, and it didn't finalize until after college. So it was four years long of this divorce battle. But prior to that, my mom and dad must have separated like 4 to 6 times.
And like before high school?
Before high school. Oh, wow. So dad would move out or we would move out. Mm-hmm. And it was just very unsteady. And my parents, again, like without divulging everything, I think one of the things that I recognized in faith specifically was my dad was not equipped in the faith route, in the faith piece. His relationship with Jesus wasn't at a place where he could lead. And so I had this very skewed version of what God was, because it felt like it was this like, got to earn, got to produce, got to be good at all times. And if not, I'm going to get screamed at. And so I wanted nothing to do with God. I remember when I was in, like, my brother and I would pretend to be sick on Sunday mornings because we were like, we just got to fake it so that we don't have to go to church. And now it's like my favorite day of the week, you know, and to think how far God has brought me in just by his mercy. But that has definitely shown up. It showed up for me for a long while of why I was like so against God. But God always had his, like, he always just had his, like, I don't know about, like, he had his hand always on my back, just like subtly and just like gently, because I always longed and felt like I had this relationship with the Spirit, but I didn't understand what it was. And so I think that's a big thing that honestly kind of took root in my life. And I had people praying over me that weren't family. And I think that's why I'm a believer now. Yeah. And my grandmother actually came kind of like the last few years of her life. She came to know the Lord and prayed for me, and I have her Bible now, and it's really special. But definitely just, there's a lot of things that happened in my childhood that affected who I became. And it's not because I have bad parents. I have amazing parents. They just, they didn't know what they were doing when they were doing it. They didn't know the damage that they were creating in my brother and I specifically, in just some of the pain specifically, I think, to me as the oldest. And I really believe, and I'm choosing to believe this, whether this is true or not, I think it is true. And I'm choosing to believe that God gave me this like crazy testimony in this life of, you're strong enough, I'm going to give you and equip you with strength and courage to be the first woman that like changes a lot of the negativity and the nastiness and like the reactivity and the explosiveness. My mom grew up in foster care. Like, she just, from the very beginning, she just has a really hard story. And the woman that she is remarkable given where she's been. Mm-hmm. And so I think she also fought some of that generational sin too, without even really knowing it. Yeah. She loved as best she can. She's like so generous. She's so kind.
Yeah.
And she raised, there's a lot of things about my mom that I'm like, I am so proud to be her daughter. Mm-hmm. And then there's things I've even told her that are like, these are really painful.
Yeah.
And this is not okay. And so those are the things that I have worked mm-hmm. to break. And so, it's been painful work, but it's been necessary work, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And now mm-hmm. I can look at my parents and go, I love my parents, and I have a really healthy, now boundaried relationship with both my parents, and I choose to have a relationship with them, and I will always choose to have a relationship with them because I love them deeply. They're my parents,
yeah.
and I honor them, and they did the best they could with what they have,
mm.
you know, and that's all we can do. And yeah. I think we can't, if you want to sit and be bitter about, oh, how you were raised, or you got the short end of the stick, or your dad was an alcoholic, or your, you know, your mom abused you, or whatever your story is, it's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Right. Exactly. And I think what's, it's a consequence of what happens, right?
Yes.
It's a consequence because of the fall, because,
yes,
of,
because
sin
of the
in
fall.
This world.
Mm-hmm.
There is that consequence of what has happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not a curse. Mm-mm. I think in the sense of you're not doomed. You're cursed.
No.
No. Like, yes, there's things that weren't done well, but I think it's what's unhealed gets mm-hmm. repeated.
Yes.
And so if it wasn't healed, mm-hmm. then it's just the patterns mm-hmm. that we know. In the
yeah.
same way, if I just normally eat one way and don't do yep. anything to change it, then I will continue to have
yeah.
high cholesterol because yeah. it's a familial thing,
yeah,
you know?
It's
and
harder
so
to break.
You have to heal it. You have to be aware of what they are. And the thing is, as much as you and I can heal our things, we have no idea the trauma we're going to cause our daughters.
Literally. I'm
you
like,
know?
Oh Lord.
I pray we can see it. I pray we can have open conversations. I pray we can work through things. But like, I think because we are still broken, sinful people, there mm-hmm. will be things. And as long
Absolutely.
As we're aware and talking about it,
yeah.
we can create the generational patterns of blessing.
Yes.
And,
yes, I know. I think that's so important because like one thing that I say this in class all the time because I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. So I am very much like a performer and I've had to break a lot of even that in and of itself of like, you don't have to earn your rest. You don't have to earn mm-hmm. your body. You don't have to do all these things. And so I've gotten to a really healthy relationship within my Enneagram, if you're into that. But what I say is you're not coming to this class to perform, to achieve, to burn
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting it wrong here. I am such a fan of people who have a willingness to try. And
yeah.
that's just what it is. It's like, hey, do you have a willingness to give it your best effort to heal whatever is broken in you, and nothing mm-hmm. is ever going to be this like beautifully polished finished product.
Absolutely.
That's not this side of eternity. It's not going to happen. And that's not a reason to have an excuse to just remain who you are. But also it gives you this, like I talk about grace meets discipline in classes all the time of like, show yourself grace while also meeting yourself with discipline to change. Because if you don't, you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. As a trainer, I've seen this. People come in, they've been riding with me for years and they ride the exact same. They don't push themselves any harder than they would any given day. And they're exactly where they were a year ago.
Hmm.
And I'm such a, like, I don't want to stay the same. I know that in our friendship, you've loved so many different versions of me over the last decade. I know that when I get married, I will love so many versions of my husband mm-hmm. over the course of our marriage. And I can't wait to do that, mm-hmm. you know, and I can't wait to be loved in return by the different iterations of myself.
Right.
But you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not to become this like perfect polished product, but to be willing to try is key. And
yeah.
I tell my clients that all the time. And I remind myself of that all the time, where grace can meet discipline,
I think
is a really beautiful. The Lord gave that to me one day when I was teaching.
I love
and
that.
And so I was like, that's a great way to phrase that.
Yeah, I love it. And I think too, when we know that the generational sin, curses, problems, evil, don't have the ultimate authority
Mm-mm.
in our lives
mm-hmm.
because they have to be renounced and replaced with truth.
Yes.
And so how do we do that? Is we fill ourselves with truth.
Yes.
With
so good.
Scripture. We read the word and say, what does God say about me? Not what does my parents say about me? Not what does this broken
exactly.
world say about me? But what does God say about me? And replacing that truth.
I love that.
Within us.
It's so true. It's so true.
Because that's what the cross is. That's the whole story. That's literally the spoiler alert.
Literally, spoiler alert.
In the
alert.
Bible is like the cross is not only like forgiveness, but it's a whole new family line, yes. right? It's the whole new spiritual inheritance of blessing. Yeah. It's the whole new life, mm-hmm. which we get to have as believers. And we get to change. We get to have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to do good
yeah.
and to be new creation.
Yeah.
And without him, without that, we are hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God.
Thank God.
For the cross.
Thank God for the cross. Okay, so let's talk about like how patterns show up in us so that we can maybe be a little bit more specific if we want to be more vulnerable about that.
Okay.
Or even just in general too, we can make it like more of a generalized thing, but kind of picking up on a few different ways in which even like dating and faith in self-talk, like have you noticed specific things, not necessarily even passed down from your family, but just maybe things that have happened to you in the course of your life? Do you feel like there have been patterns? I mean, I think we've even talked about this probably in one of our many dating episodes of like a pattern that you've experienced or chosen in dating yeah. or even in friendships, if you don't want to talk about the dating part.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have talked about dating before of just like patterns that, I mean, it goes back to the same thing. Like what's unhealed will get repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not healing these parts, whether it's a couple episodes ago about intimacy versus intensity, like if I'm not healing these parts, it's easy to continue to do the same things. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, I think definitely in dating, you can repeat those things, repeating habits, emotionally unavailable men, you know, mm-hmm. like whatever.
Why do you think, because I've struggled too in choosing emotionally unavailable men. Why do you think we've chosen that?
Okay, well, if we're talking about generational patterns, this is actually
let's
funny
dig
because
into it.
My dad and I, we'll talk about this often. And he has straight up asked me, Sarah, where did I miss you?
Mm.
Like which I just pray for a husband that would look at my daughter and ask these same questions that he does to me.
Your dad
I'm
makes
so grateful. But he'll be like, where did I miss you that you went for a man who doesn't see your worth and value?
Mm.
Or what were you searching for in a man that I didn't show you as your dad you're worthy of?
Mm.
Because I think if we're going with the generational patterns, it is probably common that if I have a dad who is emotionally unavailable, then I'm going to go find a guy that's emotionally unavailable.
Yeah.
And so he's asked me, he's like, have you felt like I missed you or did I dismiss you or did I not cheer you on? And I'm like, I will literally have on his tombstone, like my number one fan. Like, yeah, I felt adored by him.
And yeah.
I've told him multiple times, like he feels like I'm so grateful that I have an earthly father that I adore and I respect so much that gives me a taste of what my heavenly father probably looks at me like. And so that's something he and I discuss. And it's like, and he's so kind to want to know, is there something that I've done of why are you doing, like, why is that pattern? But you know what? I think what's crazy is this is where it comes down to, what if this is just my sin, my stumble, the enemy having something on me that I have to fight and then marry a good man? Because what if I married one of those unavailable emotions? What happened? Emotionally unavailable men. And then I would have created a whole new generational pattern of what if my daughter started doing. So what if this whole thing that I'm doing right now with emotionally unavailable men is just me figuring it out because I have to stand strong and find that emotionally available,
strong,
hot, sexy cowboy.
Sorry, man. I need to stop. I love
cowboy.
This. Cowboy. Just as long as you wear boots.
Do you know what
good.
I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, this is so interesting because as you're talking, okay, so just for listeners that to hear this, because I think it's so powerful. You have a father who is so involved, so loving. I mean, I don't know if it can get better than Jeff Helton.
I agree.
I know he has, I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal, but I'm also putting him on a pedestal.
I mean, he's got his problems for sure.
Yeah, of course. Don't we all?
He has high cholesterol.
Yeah. Jeff, we love you so much. Okay, so that. And then I come from the opposite. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a dad who looked at me and adored me and told me that I was worthy and all these things. He does try now, and I adore him for that. But I didn't have that at all. I had the exact opposite. And so I think you nailed it. Cause we've talked about this over the course of the decade of us being friends and also just like us kind of choosing the same kind of men in our past of when we've changed that now.
We have changed that.
Yeah. It feels great to date.
You snapped
great,
your finger.
I'm like, no, emotionally we have changed that.
I'm dead. No more bad boys. Hold me to it.
I will, sister.
What were you saying?
Okay, yeah, I got it. I think that actually is so true. I think you can have complete different types of fathers, mm-hmm. and have two daughters that can struggle with the same thing. Yeah. That doesn't mean that it's my dad's fault.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And that I really think the enemy, I think you nailed it, was like, oh, hey, I don't want to actually have this incredible lineage of men in the Helton realm. I'm going to come at Sarah. And I think the same thing, I mean, whether my dad brought some of that on or not, whether it was behavioral or not, whether it was passed down from sin from my dad or not, I don't blame my dad. And yeah. And so we did both. Is that English? We both.
You did both.
We did both.
Say
we
it,
both,
sister, I'm tracking.
We both chose in our past. And I think the reason why I chose unavailably. Wow.
It is hard. Okay.
It's hard day.
Emotionally unavailable men.
It's like we have to say it slowly just to remember, like, that's not our story anymore. I think I chose that because it was a way to protect myself from being hurt. It's like I knew deep down I wasn't probably going to end up with these men. And also in my own story of having to earn and be the caretaker, be the fixer, be all those things. It was like, okay, you're not available. So this is like a challenge for me to like then, you know, have to work at it.
And praise God for your fighting against that.
Yeah.
And not settling and not marrying and choosing to be with a man.
Yeah.
Who will adore you and love you and hold your daughter's face and tell her
how much he loves her. Yeah.
You know,
it's so wild. So I think that's really powerful because, yes, generational sin is real, but also it's just, it can also be just what the enemy used as a tactic in your life to kill, steal, and destroy.
Okay, so what's that look like going forward? How do we choose freedom? How do we move forward in the awareness of these generational patterns? What we're doing today is affecting our future, mm-hmm. our children, mm-hmm. our next generation, our kids are not, mm-hmm. right? If we're brothers mm-hmm. and sisters in Christ, everyone younger than me is the next generation, my nieces and nephews. Like,
yep.
What patterns am I starting? And how can I move to these healing steps? Mm-hmm. How can I do that? I think first of all, it's the awareness, right?
Yep.
Identifying those patterns. What do I see in my family line? Mm-hmm. God, how can I help me redeem this? Help me heal this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you have to invite the Holy Spirit and you can do all the counseling and therapy and life coaching you want. But if you don't invite the Holy Spirit in to like reveal the roots and not just prune the symptoms, it's going to get you nowhere. So I definitely think the first thing is to like have that awareness and ownership and simultaneously invite the Spirit in to cleanse you and to work with you. And it's a painful, exhausting, very difficult process, but it's so doable. And I think that,
Wait, can I read this one verse?
Yeah.
It made me think of Psalm 139:23. And 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be, huh?
Keep all of this. It's just
and
great.
See if there be, that doesn't sound like English either.
And so what version do you have again?
I was just going to say the search me and know me, God. That's,
yeah.
Search I'm working me and on know memorizing me God. Scripture.
Search me, God, and know my heart.
No, search me. Yes. Okay. I think this is the problem with memorizing scripture with friends. When you have different versions, it doesn't hit.
Yeah,
but I was reading it out of my Bible because search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting.
Love.
Somehow that just sounded weird.
It does kind of. Are you ESV?
ESV. What about you?
I was ESV. I'm NIV now.
Oh.
I moved
anyways,
over.
But talking about inviting search the Holy Spirit in it. Yes. Like asking him, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, like mm-hmm. know my even thoughts, mm-hmm. my thoughts for evil, my thoughts for bad, my thoughts that would hurt my future mm-hmm. husband, my future children. Like, Lord, heal me of that.
And see if there's will.
Anything's in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Help me towards emotional maturity. Help me towards strength and kindness mm-hmm. and intimacy in appropriate ways. And like, inviting him in.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't want to go anywhere that the Lord is not.
Praise,
so
preach.
So if he's not, like, I really don't. unless I'm going to go evangelize somewhere, which is not yet on my calling list, but probably.
Wait, what?
I don't know. What do you mean? Meant like the Lord calling me to do evangelism. He's not called me yet.
You literally do that every day in your full ride classes.
Oh, you're right. I think that why that's on my head is when my girlfriend is going out of Broadway to evangelize tonight with this group. Have you heard about this group out of?
Yeah, I see them. I've seen them there. I'm on Broadway.
Okay. Let's be clear.
But I've seen them on Instagram on Broadway.
I'm glad you clarified because I think I would have been like, what were you doing down on Broadway? You know? Just kidding.
If you know I'm on Broadway.
Okay. We used to go to Broadway.
Check me out. I mean, we can go to Broadway. It's not like Broadway is a sin in itself. It's just what happens on Broadway.
It's what happens on Broadway. It's a really dark place now, but. I digress. Anyways. Okay. So anyways, I don't want to go anywhere that the Spirit is not. Mm-hmm. And so I used to struggle with, I'm going to get on a tangent for just a second. I used to struggle with really bad anxiety in high school. Parents divorced. There was a lot of stuff going on. And I remember getting dressed was this, I think it was, I had this probably eating disorder forming. I struggled a little bit in college, but I remember getting dressed and I would go into my closet and I would have these like, honestly, now looking back, I know they were just like spiritual attacks. I didn't even know it, but I could not get dressed. I would have these like terrible thoughts. I would honestly hyperventilate sometimes. It was like anxiety was just taking over. And I just remember as a young kid being like, I'm never going to not be this way. Like, I'm never going to not think these thoughts. I'm never going to not be able to like struggle with these things. And, you know, fast forward, I'm 35 years old now and I'm like, I'm free. And so I just want to encourage anyone that is listening that is like, oh, but you don't know my past. You don't know the things that I've done or you don't know my story or you don't know how hard it's been. I do. I really, really do. And you can find freedom and you will find freedom. And the Lord can truly in a moment. We talk about Sarah's the one that taught me this. And then suddenly, like you can be praying and praying and praying and working for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden it's gone. And that's what happened to me.
Yes.
And it's just like all of a sudden, like, it wasn't really all of a sudden, it was years and years and years of counseling and deliverance work and different things that have happened over the course of my life that I honestly wasn't even aware of. A lot of people praying for me that I didn't even know about, probably even still don't know about. So it absolutely can happen. But if you don't invite the Spirit into it, it's completely negligent. Like it's not going to get you anywhere. So I think that's huge. There are practical steps we can talk about too.
Well, I think, okay, I wrote down a couple questions to share. I think this would be good questions to think about. We can add them in the show notes on this episode. But three questions to think about as you are thinking about generational patterns. One, what family themes have shaped me for better or worse? Number two, how has God already reversed something in my lineage? And then number three, what do I want my children and grandchildren to inherit from me spiritually?
That's so good. I want to do those. Those questions.
I know, I was going to challenge you on that too. I was writing them down thinking about what are those things? Because again, it's about the awareness, right? Yeah. So it's about the awareness of what it is. And then even that last question I love when I think about my children and grandchildren, what I want them to inherit spiritually from me. Like what I want them to be like, I wonder what my grandma name is going to be. Granny Sasa. Like, you know what I mean? Like she did this so well. Like I can think about my grandpa and his legacy he left spiritually for me. He just saw beauty in the little things. He didn't care about anything in the world but Jesus. Like he was so minimalistic. And I think about I see so much joy in just who he was. Like he loved to be outside and fish and he would see Jesus in everything. I don't know. And I think about that and I'm like, oh my gosh, what a legacy he's left for me. And I want
that. You're like that.
I'm like that.
Yeah, you're like that. You see Jesus in everything.
Thank you.
You do.
Grandpa Ray. But I think about like, that's it. That's how, like answering those three questions. So one, what family themes have shaped me for better or worse? Two, how has God already reversed something in my lineage? And three, what do I want my children and grandchildren to inherit from me spiritually? But yeah, I think generational blessing begins when somebody decides, right? Yep. You decide, it stops with me. You decide, I'm aware, I'm changing, I'm doing something different. And then also blessing starts with me.
Yeah.
And so speaking that over you, speaking that over us, right? Like we're deciding the bad stops with me and the good blessings also start with me.
And it's a process. Like it's a process. Like it stops with me, yes. And that's something that I think should be everyone's legacy. Like if you think about, I'm going to get on Coach Kinsey for a second, but when I'm in classes, I say that too. And like, we're at the end of a class and everyone's exhausted, I'm like, this is so much bigger than just you working out. This is like, what is your purpose? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you feel like you're called to? And it's playing the long game. It's like making wise choices now that may not be fun, that may not be super satisfactory, but it's playing the long game for your future family, yeah, and their family and their, yeah, family. So like, that should be a big enough deal for all of us to be like, yeah, I got legacy in mind here. And that's why I'm choosing not to settle, while I'm choosing to go to therapy, while I'm choosing to make sure that I have really good community, that I'm, mm-hmm, confessing,
yeah,
that I'm walking in faith, that I am knowing that freedom is a process. It's not this, mm-hmm, moment. It's not just like, oh, you're going to feel really good, like getting home from a Christian conference or a Christian, yeah, concert, and you're, yeah, on this high. Like, yeah, God's going to meet you in every aspect of your life, especially in the valleys. And you just get
hello.
The snort was awesome at the end of that. Can you keep all of us in? This is so, I'm like freaking preaching it. And then I'm just having a seizure.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was tracking.
You were tracking. I was doing great. But anyways, just trying to tell you all to just walk it out.
Walk it out.
Walk it out.
Don't worry about perfection. Freedom does not mean perfection. No. It's about progress. I love that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, there's one more piece we should talk about that we talked about.
Us? Me and you? All right. I was going to wrap.
Were you going to wrap?
No, go. What?
Okay, one last thing. Sarah and I both have been really convicted to memorize scripture. And the way that I do it, I'm curious how you do it. I write it out on cue cards.
What is a cue card? Sorry, that's not the point. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Is that a Canadian thing? It probably is.
I've never heard of it.
Index card?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Yeah, that's us down here.
Okay.
We say index.
We say cue.
Cool.
Cue card. Index card. And so we are together challenging each other with a verse every single week. And so we were like, why don't we bring that to the podcast too? I think a lot of people are like, oh, I really want to memorize scripture. I want to get better at memorizing scripture. And then no one does it. And, mm-hmm, I'm just tired of being the one that's like, I want to know better scripture. I want to know scripture better. Wow. We need a wrap. I want to know scripture better, but then me like not really doing anything about it. So if you guys want to join in with us, we're starting now. And the verse for this week is, Sarah, you share it because you're the one that gave it to us.
Okay. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.
Powerful. If you guys want to do a scripture challenge with us, write it on a cue card, write it on an index card, and memorize it.
Love
and
it.
And then we're going to share a verse every single week that we're memorizing together.
Love it.
We're so cute and corny.
You are so cute and corny. I hope you snort again. Okay. Or wheeze, whatever it works. And remember,
even if
he is still good.